men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
It's good to have you in service. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to appreciate the King of Kings. I want to appreciate our Maker for the privilege He has afforded us to be here tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you just say, Father, thank you? I want to also welcome every one of you to Koinonia service this Thursday, 15th of June. Glory to God. Can you whisper to your neighbor, welcome to Koinonia. Amen. Now, every time we fellowship in Koinonia, we fellowship around the Word of God. We fellowship around the kindness of God. We share. Talks about sharing. So I want you to know that what makes services like this a define is your participation. You participate in every aspect of the service. Glory to God. When it's time to worship, you just worship. When it's time to pray, you pray. Glory to God. And the Lord answers our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. This month has been quite expository. Like I told you when we started the month, our focus for this month is captioned by the word renewed mind. Renewed mind. So we want to, or we are taking a journey to understand the whole idea behind a renewal of mind. What you mean by renewed mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we continue from where we stopped last time. The principle and power of a renewed mind, part 2. The principle and power of a renewed mind, part 2. Quickly, once again, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be reading from verse 17. Let's all open there. Please make sure you have your Bible with you. One of the things we want to do during the course of this series is to emphasize the authority of scriptures. To emphasize the authority that scriptures have over our lives as believers. So please, I want us to be very, very involved. Every verse of scripture that we read, I want us to look at them. I want us to try to understand them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's read together as a church. Want to read? Let's read from the screen. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. He said, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their heart against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure. Verse 20. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off. Let's go back to verse 21. Now, everybody, let's read. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off. 22. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitude. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he wants, he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Now, verse 2, that's the focus. Let's echo it very loud. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Father, we thank you for the authority of your word. We understand that your word is the conduit for the communication of your ways. We thank you because your word is not just powerful, but your word is also transformative. So we are asking tonight that even as we look at your word as a people, we pray for understanding to be released unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask that there will be sweet flow of utterance. There will be free flow of understanding. There will be free flow of plainness. The capacity to interpret scriptures will rest upon me, and then the ability to understand it will rest upon everyone that will be listening to me. I'm asking that you will cause your word to penetrate into the intent of every heart, such that it will bring about illumination, such that it will bring about transformation. I rebuke every spirit of religion, every spirit of conflict that want to stand against the sweet preeminence of your word. I cast it out in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that your word will be powerful and your word will be efficacious. More than anything else, let Jesus be glorified and let every body of believer be edified. In Jesus' name we pray. So we're talking about the principle and then the power of a renewed mind. On Sunday, I began to explain the principle of a renewal of mind to us. Glory to God. I told us last time that the reason why we need to renew our mind was because there was how God designed our mind to function. Glory to God. Glory to God. There was how, when you look at the mind, there is how the mind was before the fall. There is how the mind became after the fall. And then there is how the mind gets to at conversion, and then There is how the mind is to function now that we are converted. So that's the seasons of the mind. Glory to God. Now let's establish certain fundamental principles about the mind. Now, number one, like I told you last time, the mind was designed to be an organ of influence. The mind was designed to be an organ of influence. Also, the mind was designed to be controlled. The same thing I've said. You must understand the principles of the mind. The mind was designed to be an entry point to the man. Very important. And then the mind as a faculty of the soul is to be a steward. I'll explain. Is that okay? Just take them down and then I'll explain. Now, these are principles that can't be uttered. If you don't understand how the mind was designed by God to function, you will never be able to live to your fullest spiritual potential. Because, more importantly, the mind controls the man. What steering wheel is to a car is what the mind is to a man. Are you with me? Whatever will change your life must first stay in your mind. Whatever will come out from your life must first enter into your mind. So let's look at it. The mind was designed to be an organ of influence, meaning that the mind was designed to be surrounded. Are you following me? So when I say the mind was designed to be an organ of influence, the mind, the way the mind cannot exist on its own. Is that okay? That's why there is nothing like an empty mind. The mind cannot be empty. The mind cannot be a vacuum. Something must what? Occupy it. Is that okay? So the mind was designed to be an organ of what? Of influence. To be occupied. That's one of the reasons the preacher was speaking in the book of Proverbs. He said, guard your heart, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. And I told you that the gateway to the heart is the what? Is the mind. Is that okay? So the mind is the gateway to the what? To the heart. That is to say, whatever will enter your life must enter your heart. But whatever will enter your heart will pass through your what? Your mind. Do we get that now? So these four principles are very, very essential to the functions of the mind. So number one, the mind was designed to be an organ of influence. That is to say, the mind was designed to be surrounded. Number two, the mind was designed to be what? To be controlled. That's why it's a steward. Now, where you push the mind go, now there the mind they go. Are you with me? Are you with me? You can change your mind. Are we together? You can what? You can change your mind. Because the mind was designed to be what? To be controlled. It's very important. See, your mind no feel just the idle. Something go feel am. Do we get that? Do we get that? Even a madman, you know, when you say somebody is insane, is somebody that his mind is not under control again. But one thing about an insane man, even an insane man, do you know what an insane man does? Anything see people they do, he go do. That's because even at the point where the mind is not functioning, the mind still have the capacity to what? To function. That's why if you say an insane man is around where people are just jumping, you will just see the same man will just be jumping. If what came to the same man to just be talking, he will just be talking. Do we understand now? Do we understand? Because the mind was designed to be what? To be controlled. Glory to God. Then let's look at the next thing. The mind was designed to be what? An entry point to the man. And when you say the man, you refer to the what? To the soul. And when you say the soul, the center is what? The heart. Is that okay? So, if you want to deal with soul, you must first deal with what? Heart and mind. Is that established? So, the soul of a man is it's the center of the man's existence. So the soul of the man is his personality. Is that okay? So write it down. Your soul is your frame. Your soul is your makeup. The makeup of a man is his soul. And when you are talking about the soul, you are talking about those four components. So the soul has four components. The soul has four components. So we have the intellect, the emotions, the thoughts, and the what? And the will. Is that okay? So all of them, where all of them have their residence is the what? All of them, they are offshoot of the soul. Is that okay? But one wire, a steward that controls all of them is the heart and mind. Is that okay? For example, what do we mean by intellect? The ability to reason, to combine information together and produce it. Is that okay? That's intellect. For example, if I teach you some things and then I expect you to practice it, the capacity to practice it comes from your what? Your intellect. Is that okay? Your ability to practice what you were taught shows you are intellectual. Is that okay? Two, emotions talks about feelings. Is that okay? Emotions talks about what? Feelings. Talks about feelings. How you feel. Is that okay? Joy. No, joy is not a feeling. Anger. sadness, fear, all those things, the place where those things are stored is called your what? Your emotions. It's also a faculty of the soul. And then the other one is what? Your thoughts. So your ability to think. Is that okay? Your ability to what? To think. To think. And then the will is your ability to do. So write them down. Intellect, your ability to reason and apply what you were taught. Is that okay? Then talk about your emotions. Emotion talks about your feelings. Your feelings. And then your thoughts talks about your capacity to think. 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 And then your will. The will talks about the ability to what? To get things done. Is that okay? So let's connect everything together. What it means is that if you are going to feel something, if you're going to respond, feelings comes from the deposits in the mind. The things you have deposited in your mind are what you eventually express as emotions. Is that okay? The same thing. The things you will reason out are things that you have dropped in your mind. The things you will do are the things that you have put in your mind to do. So what we are saying is that all of these faculties and components of the soul, the key to them is the what? Is the what? Is the mind. The entry point to them is the what? Is the mind. So it is true. For example, let me use an example. Let's take, for example, thoughts. Thoughts are stored where? What helps you to think? The ability to think, the what opens you to thinking is your what? Is your mind. Is that okay? Okay, now, focus your mind on, for example, John 3:16. So what are you thinking on now? For God so loved. That's where you shift your mind to. Is that okay? So now shift your mind again to a bike man you saw. You can picture a bike man you saw. You see how the mind is moving. Is that okay? So it means that if I'm going to change your thoughts, I must change the direction of your what? Your mind. Because it is where your mind focuses on that it will start converting to what? To thoughts. Is that okay? Now, if I train your mind to... if I train your mind to remove the ink, it's your mind you use to interpret things. That's what I call the intellect. The intellect. Is that okay? Okay, good. Have you changed the ink of this pen before? But you know I can change the red to this black and it start writing as red. Is that okay? Have you done it before? No, okay, I'm going to show you. And I know that if I show you, you do it. Are you with me? Now, all of what is happening is because his mind is what? With me. Is that okay? So come. Help me hold the mic. Stand up. So now, the first thing you do is that you open this place. You see it? So when you open this place, you see it? You now remove this thing. Change it to any color that I want. So that's where the color is. So now, can you open this one? Okay, open it. Good. So now, you see it? Now, the problem is that if you open it, it will pour again. Do you know why it will pour? Because it has keyed into this. So now take, remove it, but make sure it doesn't pour out. Now put it inside. Cover it. Who observed what he did? You observe what he did. Now I want you to do what he did. So change this one back to where it should be and change it back to where they should be. God bless you. Sit down. I have to turn it so that it doesn't pour. There's a precaution. No. What I just did, every one of you, it has entered into your mind. Is that okay? So if I need you to change this pen, let's take for example the black ink gets finished and I want you to change it, you can do it now. So all I just needed to do was to make sure it gets programmed into your mind. So that's why I'm trying to tell you that the mind was designed to be controlled. Anything can get into your mind. Do we get that now? Anything. I often say to people that whatever you are mindful of, you would eventually practice. Let's take for example, thank you, God bless you. Let's take for example, you are mindful of fashion. Like you so mindful of fashion. If I expose you to the trainings that come with fashion, not too long from now, you start making clothes. Do we understand that now? So the mind was designed by God to be what? To be controlled. Your mind can be controlled. You can change your mind. Are you getting what I'm saying? And let me tell you another one. Write this down. You can close your mind. You can close your mind. Glory to God. You can close your mind. Let's read that verse of scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. He said, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds. So the mind, your mind can be closed. For example, he finds her attractive and then begins to, every time he comes to church, greet her. Then one day just like, I would like to get married to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? She can close her mind against him. Is it possible? Very, very possible. All she just needs to do is to not give him what? To not give him attention. So write that down. The mind works on the principle of attention. The mind works on the principle of what? Attention. In other words, what you give the mind to, the mind takes. Do you get that now? The mind works on the principle of attention. So that's why words like of what? Attention. The mind cannot be independent. That was the reason why God told man that, see, don't eat of that fruit. The day you eat of that fruit, the things that will control you will be too much for you to carry. Give attention to me. So, I've established all of these principles and let's apply them to these phases of life. So, the mind functions on the principle of what? Attention. Now, waiting, you carry the mind, put on. Now, the mind go take in. That's how it works. Whatever you don't give attention to can never become... cannot stay in your mind. That's the simplest way to put it. So write that down. Whatever you don't give the mind to, whatever you don't give the mind attention towards, can never stay in the mind. Is that okay? Is that okay? You must give it attention. You must intentionally, that's where the word, there are three words that the mind runs with. Let's write them down. One is intentional, focus, and then distraction. These are the three powerful things, friends and enemies of the mind. Two powerful enemies of the mind is what? Intention and what? Focus. The mind becomes very, very, very powerful when the principle of focus is what? Is at work. Whatever you focus the mind on, the mind takes in. And it affects every organ of the soul. That's why you hear a guy can tell a lady that, see, you have taken over my life. Because when I think, is you I think. When I reason, is you I reason. My will is you. So if you are just doing as if you have not, somebody have not told you that thing before. Eh? You have not been told that kind of thing before. Let me see your hand. You are not saying the truth. You can even raise your leg, Seth. Glory to God. In fact, there are times that you become mindful of something, you begin to even see it in your dream. Yes. That's how powerful the mind is. Attention. Just tell yourself that, for example, for the remaining days of this week, from now till on Saturday next week, you want to be thinking about Mary. Just decide that it's only Mary you want to be thinking about. You will see Mary in your dream. Praise God. So that's the principle. So, focus. Then, when you look at intention, let me tell you something. If you put, for example, you want to leave the house with your charger, and then you, from the moment you woke up, you keep saying it, I don't want to forget my charger. Do you know eventually you will not forget the charger? The mind functions on the principle of intentionality. As you keep reminding the mind something, reminding, you see that word, remind. Remind means to bring him back to the mind. Keep bringing him back to the mind. All of it will get to a point, it will just become normal. We'll call it autopilot. You will not need to bother to remember it again. The mind will remind you. It will just tell you that, guy, you are forgetting your charger. Are we together? It will just tell you that you are forgetting your charger. Now, that's because you are first of all put it to mind. But if you don't put it to mind, in fact, you will not even remember until somebody else will now say, guy, Alpha, where is the charger I told you to bring? It escaped my mind. Now, did you know why it escaped your mind? It was because you did not intentionally put it to mind. Are we following? So good. Now, then the other thing about the mind is distraction. Is that okay? Distraction. So, meaning that one thing about the mind also, the mind does not have the capacity to take in too many things at the same time. So write it down. The mind does not have the capacity to take in too many things at the same time. That was the reason why God told the man that don't eat of that what? That fruit. Glory to God. So, have we written that down? So the mind does not have the capacity to take too many things at the same time. That's why sometimes you now need to write down some things. Let me give you an example, especially for our females. Remember that if you want to go and buy three things from the market, you may not write it down. Am I correct? For example, if you want to buy your bathing soap, slippers, and torch, you just rehearse it. Bathing soap, slippers, and torch. Bathing soap, slippers, and torch. And you carry the money. You may not need to write it down. You can get to the market. So when you tell the mind, there's three things I want to buy. So when you've bought two, the mind will start telling you there is a third one. Is that okay? So the mind also functions on the principle of numbers. We'll come to that later on. Now, but there are times you want to buy like 20 things. Do you understand now? What do? You now tear a small sheet of paper. You now write them down. And you now put the price. Now, do you know why you are doing that? You know very well that it is not practically possible for you to remember all 20. You'll be giving the mind too much things to carry within short time. If you are going to be spending the whole day in the market, you can sit in the woman's shop and start remembering again. But because you know I'm going to spend just 30 minutes in the market, and within that 30 minutes, the mind cannot just pick all 20. So what do? You write them down. So after you've bought the first one, you just pick, check, you buy everything within. So the mind does not have the capacity to store or retain too many things at the same time. Is that okay? So that was why Jesus said something in Luke chapter 8. Everybody, let's go to Luke chapter 8. Let's read a verse. Which part of Luke 8 now? Let's go to verse 19. Let's check 19. Luke. Okay. Go back to 14. See what he said here. He said, let's start from 12. Jesus said something very profound. He said, the seed that fell on the footpath refers to those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from where? Their heart, and prevent them from believing and being saved. See the next verse, verse 13. Now see, he said, the seeds on rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. Now see the next one, 14. He said, the one that fell among thorns represent those who hear the message, but too quickly, the message is what? Crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Now, what he's trying to tell you here is this, that the way we all in church hears and apply the word of God is not the same. Some people, they quickly apply it. Now, the reason why they quickly apply it, too many things are not shocking them. That's the principle of the mind. The mind can be shocked. And when the mind is shocked, the mind no longer what? Retains. Is that okay? Get that now. So good. Now, finally, let's look at the difference between the minds at these phases is defined or determined by its surroundings, the various internal stroke external surroundings. So to come into this, write this down. The mind is influenced by what surrounds it. The mind is influenced by what surrounds it. I've established the fact that the mind was designed to be influenced. But what influences the mind? The mind is influenced by what surrounds it. The mind is influenced by its surrounding. So, before the fall, man was surrounded by God's spirit. So that's why he was able to function at the God capacity. The reason is because he was surrounded by God's Spirit. So God's Spirit was the source of his intellect. God's Spirit was the source of his what? His emotions, how he feels. God's Spirit was the source of his thoughts. And God's Spirit was his what? Was his will. See, stop writing, look up. You must understand that before man fell, man was thoughtful of God. Before man fell, man could feel God. I mean, not like the way we do it now, want to steer it or something. No. God and man were inseparable. At every point in time, God's presence was not far away from man. Now put it this way, God's presence was a dominant reality before the fall. Are we following? Listen, everybody. Just the same way when we get to heaven, you will not need to sing chants to be conscious of God. Are you with me? Praise God. You will just know. Amen. You will just know. Just the same way, you know, when God called out Adam and said, Adam said, I heard your voice and I hid. Now, how would you hear God's voice and hide? Have you done something wrong? Have you eaten the fruit I told you not to eat? It meant that for man not to be conscious of God, something had to be removed from him. It's just like as you are now, you are still alive. Is that okay? You are conscious that you are alive. I don't need to tune him to say, Abraham, you are alive, Joe. You are not dead, you are alive. I'm convincing you are alive. Do I need to do that? He knows that he's alive. Before the fall, God and man were inseparable entities. Man was always conscious of who? Of God. It needed a separation for man to even forget that God existed. So that was why before the fall, man was intellectually godified. Let me say this. Raise your head, look up. Before the fall, Adam was intellectually what? Godified. You saw that in Genesis chapter 2. He said, whatever he called the animals, that they were. Glory to God. So say it with me before the fall. Adam was intellectually godified. Adam would not need anybody to teach him God. Do you understand? Because God was the only reality he knew. The Bible says something in the book of John. He said, you don't need anyone to teach you because the spirit that is in you makes you know all things. Tell neighbor, Adam knew all things at that level. Are we understanding what I'm saying? Now, why? This is the reason. Everybody said he's surrounded. He was surrounded by God's Spirit. So the reason man stopped knowing God came here after the what? After the fall. So the reason he was separated from what? Separated from God's what? Spirit. So automatically what happened? Everybody said darkness came. So go back to that Ephesians. Ephesians 4 verse 18. God's Spirit is the conveyor of light to man's mind. Listen, everybody, listen. This is very important. The mind of man cannot be lighted except by the Spirit of God. So that's why even James was telling us that, see, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask from God. And then in Corinthians, Paul was now telling us that this wisdom we are talking about is not the wisdom of the world. Listen, you cannot call a professor spiritually enlightened As a matter of fact, Miles Monroe says something, that in all of your learnings, if you don't learn God, you are the most ignorant. So meaning that even a professor that have read hundreds of books, if the Spirit of God does not shine light, his mind is dark. Are you understanding it? Now, I'm telling you the principle of the mind. So that was the reason why when Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, Nicodemus said, how come? I mean, how would a man go into his mother's womb? Jesus now told him that if I'm teaching you this basic thing, you don't know it. What if I start teaching you the hard one? Now, the reason why Nicodemus couldn't know was because he never had the light that could have made him know. So after the fall, what happened? And when we became separated from God, what happened to us? Everybody say what? Darkness. So now, so at conversion, what happens at conversion? Who can tell me what happens at conversion? Glory to God. John 3, quickly, John 3. What did he say in John 3? Verse 5. Jesus replied, no one can enter the kingdom of God. Let's start from verse 3. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, except you born again, you cannot what? You cannot see the kingdom of God. So look up. Any man that is not born again, that man is blind to the influence of God. Because the kingdom of God talks about the what? The influence of God. What he's trying to say is this. If God will use you, he must first give you his Spirit. Can I say that again? If God will use you, let me even not say use, remove the word use. If God will have a relationship with you, he must plant his Spirit to surround your mind, because his Spirit is the only conveyor of what? Light. Are you following that? So if God wants light to come to a man's life, there are two things he must send to the man's life. Let me see those that know scriptures. If God wants to have a relationship with you, if God wants you to see things the way he sees, God wants you to do things the way he does, there are two things he will send to you. What are the two things he will send to you? His Spirit and his what? His Spirit and his what? Come on, put things together for yourselves. Hallelujah. You see it in Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Those of you that didn't hear what they said. Now, if God must have a relationship with you, there are two things God must send to you. His Spirit. Now, what his Spirit does is to illuminate your mind. Then his word will now begin to regulate your life. Now, look up. If the word is there, but the Spirit is not there, you can't know the word because it is dark. Let me explain what I mean. If we turn off this light and everywhere is very, very dark, and then I take this phone and I keep it here, but this place is very dark, you can trek around this whole hall, you will not see the phone. Now, it's not that the phone is hidden. The phone is not hidden, but darkness covered the phone. So if I want him to see the phone, all I need to do is to shine light where the phone is. Automatically, he will see it. Now, see, there are a lot of things that God has in his heart. God has in his word. God has in his spirit. In himself, sorry. If he does not put light in your life, though you are free, you will be what? You will be bound. Because it is the light that will now show you where it is. Do we get that now? So Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Read the Bible. He said the earth was formless. Now look up. The earth was formless. Darkness covered the deep. But the Spirit of God was hovering around the face of the water. But even with the hovering spirit, there was still what? Darkness. Glory to God. So what is the next thing God did? And God said. Did you see that? The spirit and the word. They go together. They go together. Now, do you know why they must go together? If God must have a relationship with you, he must program his way of life into your mind. But the only source of light for the human mind is the spirit of what? God. The mind of man was designed to be surrounded by the spirit of God. That's why God gave you mind. Hello? The reason God gave you mind is so that his spirit can have where to act on. So that's the reason why the moment the spirit of God left man, automatically man's mind became what? Dark. Look up. The darkness of the world is not as a result of the presence of darkness. The darkness in the world is as a result of the absence of light. So this is it. We don't send the darkness out. We bring the light in. So the moment the light comes, what will happen? The darkness goes. Because light is more powerful than darkness. Darkness is passive. Light is active. Are you with me? If you turn off the lights. Now, those of you here, turn off that light. You there, turn off the lights. Quickly. Fast. Turn off the lights. You see what happened now? Look up. The default system is always darkness. That's why at the moment man was formed, man was darkness. But the moment God breathed into man, man had light. So that's why when we are talking about renewal of mind, we are talking about one, receiving the spirit at conversion and engaging the spirit and the word. That's what we call renewal of mind. Put on the light now. Now what happens? You can see well. Is that okay? So what do we mean by renewal of mind? Allowing the Spirit of God to shine light into your heart. Number one. Number two, allowing the Word of God to explain what the Spirit is saying. Glory to God. Allowing the Word of God to explain what the Spirit is saying. And allowing the Spirit, number three, to explain what the Word is saying. You can't separate them. It is the authority of Word and Spirit, not Spirit alone. Every time there is a release of God's Spirit, there must always be the voice of God. Are we together? Now stop writing. Raise your head. I'll give you 1 Corinthians 2 and then we'll pray. Time is already gone. Give us 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Let's read. Let's start from 9. Believers, let me tell you this. Where we are going in this series is to bring you to a point where you don't explain the Spirit of God outside the Word of God. And you don't explain the Word of God outside the Spirit of God. You don't just come and say, "This God told me." And what God is telling you is opposite what is in Scriptures. It's not God that is telling you. God cannot speak anything that is outside of his Word. Are you following me? And the Spirit cannot bear witness to anything outside the Word. That's how it is designed. It's just the way your mind cannot know what you have not programmed into it. For example, let me use, let me speak my language. Deal the way. Ask the Spirit to interpret it to you. Deal the way. So the Spirit have interpreted. Now see, this thing is the reason why he can never in his entire life, never, if she did not say it, there is no way in his entire life he will know that I'm asking him what is his name. Yes. That's how powerful a closed mind can be. He said, no man knows the things of the Spirit of God except the Spirit of God. That's what he's saying. He said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. He said, neither has it. He said, and no mind has imagined. No, see, the tusi ataka. No mind can imagine it. He said, unto you is given to know. Spiritual knowledge is given. God wakes you up and begins to teach you his word. Your mind cannot know the word of God. That's what we are saying. See that. See the next thing. He said, verse 10. Let's read verse 10. He said, but it was to us that God revealed. Now look up. See the medium. If the Bible had said it was to us God revealed these things, we would have been wondering how did he do it. But he now said these things by his Spirit. So why is it by the Spirit? It is only the Spirit of God that can bring light to the mind of a man. No man can teach you God except the Spirit of God is in you. Because the mind of man was designed to live and exist at the realm of God's Spirit. Take a plant out of the ground, it dies. Take a bird out of the air, it dies. Take a man out of the Spirit of God, ceases to exist. And when we are talking about the man, we are talking about his what? His mind, his soul. So that was why the moment the Spirit of God, man became disconnected from God, automatically became dark. So he began to invent his own ways to know God. That was what Paul said when he went to Ephesus. He said, was it Ephesus? Yes. He said, when I came, I saw that you people are very, very religious. You actually erected a shrine and wrote to an unknown God. The mind knows that there is a God somewhere, but the Spirit of God now directs you to God. Paul now said, that God, I've come to introduce him to you. Listen, whenever God chooses to have a relationship with a man, the first thing he sends to the man is his Spirit. And as he's sending his Spirit, he follows it with a what? With his word. So let's read the last verse, the next verse. He said, for his Spirit, stay back there. He said, for his what? Spirit searches out. Just, it's like a searchlight. So the Spirit of God is like a what? It's a searchlight. So now, when we talk about renewal of mind, look up. I must interject this. We are saying that when the Spirit of God shines the light of God's word into your heart, he now exposes in your heart those things that are not God. We call them superstitions. We call them traditions. We call them legalisms. Are we following? So when he brings it, he knew that while you were in the world, there were a lot of things that were deposited in your mind. Your mind has stored a lot of things. Some of them were taught to you by your grandmother. That when you kick left leg, bad things want to happen. Are you following me? So he will search the light there. And then the moment he shines the light there, he now sees that it is hindering your liberty. He will now show you the reward. That's where he now says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So the means by which the Spirit of God renews our mind is the Word of God. So he said, shows us God's deep secrets. Verse 11. He now said, no one can know a man's words except that person's own spirit. It means, let me show you something, men and women of God. It means that the internal environment of a man, his spirit, knows everything that happens in those components. For example, if he comes and meets me and tells me that he doesn't know why he is feeling this way towards her, he's not speaking, he's saying the truth. Hello? You didn't get what I just said. Now, if I come to him and he say, Pastor, I don't know why I'm feeling this way towards her, he's not saying the truth. Sit down. Hello? Am I correct? Okay, maybe because they are men. Let me go and meet a sister. Which sister will I meet? Okay, Toyin. I mean, she cannot tell me, Pastor, anytime Christian comes, there's this way I feel. I don't really know how I feel. She's not saying the truth. Am I correct? She's not saying the truth. Stand up. Do you know what I've just tried to say? Raise your head, everyone. Sir, not from a man's spirit. Are you correct, sir? Nothing is hidden. Sometimes, raise your head. You know, I told you about distraction. The way the mind and the spirit functions is that nothing is hidden. Nothing in the mind is hidden from the man. Are you with me? Now, meaning that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you cannot hide yourself from the Spirit of God. That's why he said, David was saying that wherever I get to, I can't hide. You see, the moment God puts his spirit in your life, before God, you are as open as anything. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. In other words, this thing, allow me use the word thing, this thing you call spirit is very powerful in searching. It can unravel secrets. Are we following? It means that I can know what he's thinking towards Deborah if I can gain access into his spirit. Because anything but his feeling, his fears, the moment I gain access to his spirit, I will see his fear. Look up. That's what diviners and familiar spirits uses. Some of you have, there is a popular movie going on now, Prophet Suddenly. See, most of you don't. That's why when people measure a spiritual level based on ability of people to call numbers. Now, I don't doubt the fact that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you can tell me things about him. It's possible. But let me tell you this. Familiar spirit do it better. That's why you can go and meet an Alpha. To be sincere, listen. If there are openings in your life that the Spirit of God has not renewed, because they use the unrenewed part of you. For example, now, someone like Pastor Victor, for example, if he has experienced a lot of renewal in his life, and I take him to some fake affairs, all the affair will just be saying is that he will be a great man. He can't see anything into his life because the portal from which he will enter has been closed by the Spirit of God. You know, I was preaching one day, I was telling you that there are some affairs that can't prophesy to us. The details of our life are too encrypted for them to peep into. You don't understand. That's why if your mother take you there, they won't see anything. But just take some unbelievers. They will just route it. And they will just duplicate the familiar spirit. And they will start seeing everything about this life. Because it's like internet. If you give me the password to your Wi-Fi, I will be able to use it to download anything. If you give me the password to your Gmail, I can access all your files that are inside. Spirit is so naked. That's how spirit is. The portals of the spirit are so opened. The moment you gain entrance into it, you can see things. You saw what that young man was doing. The moment are you with me? Yes. You know, you see, it was so graphical. I don't need a plan. We knew these things. Someone was asking me one day, he said, Pastor, sir, how come all these fake prophets and even our fast, they can see. They are portals where informations are domiciled. So that was why the woman told him that if you want to get into a greater level, you will have to go beyond just mere sex and start killing people. Because you exchange power with people's spirit. So because the life of a man is in the blood. So when you kill somebody, the blood increases your spiritual height. But in Christ, the blood of Christ was sacrificed. So the day God gave us his spirit, he gave us his password. So as long as you have fellowship with the spirit, there is no limit to what you can know. Look up. It's not that God did not tell you what will happen when you go and serve. But the reason why you can't understand it is because your mind is distracted. So when you now subject that mind to the word, everything will now be very clear. You can now catch God's signal and interpret it with God's word. So you will now be able to know that this is what God is saying. In that verse of scripture, interpreting spiritual things with spiritual things. See the next thing Apostle Paul said. He now said, the carnal mind or the carnal man cannot. Did you see that? He did not say will not. Oh, based on all the explanation I give, is it possible? He cannot. Light not day, light not day. You can't conjure it. If it's there, it's there. If it's not there, it's not there. So that's why Jesus now told Nicodemus that you can't operate in this realm until your spirit is what? Alive. That the realm where this kind of exploit is coming from is the realm where spirits have become alive in a man, be born again. So that's why I said, before the fall, light. After the fall, darkness. At conversion, light comes. The spirit comes. Then, now that we are converted, now this is where we now are. Look up. When you became converted, all God did was to give you his spirit. But now that you have become converted, you now begin to use his spirit to interpret his word and apply it in your life. That's what we call renewed mind. That state of life where God's thoughts and your thoughts are the same. Are you following me? Are you following me? When God's reasoning and your reasoning are the same, where the way God feels and the way you feel, they are the same. When you get to that point, you can do God. So, but to get to that point, we call it what? Renewal of mind. So lift up your hands and say, Father, thank you for the gift of your spirit. Thank you for the gift of your spirit. Thank you for sending us your word. Thank you. Thank you. It means the capacity to do God is the ability of his spirit and his word. The spirit and the word together is what makes a man to do God. So go ahead and give thanks. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you. We have established the principle of the mind tonight. So go ahead and say, Lord, help me to understand more how the mind is to function. Help me to understand how the mind is to function. Don't forget that the mind is influenced by the surrounding environment, especially the internal ones. Say, Lord, help me to understand how the mind is to function so that I'll be able to renew my mind, so that I'll be able to experience real fellowship with you.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovemercy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovemercychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.